For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The workers hired first, in Jesus' parable, thought they should get more. Yet to their bitter surprise, when the wages go out, they get the same as those who worked only 1 hour. They think it's not fair. But God doesn't do things according to what we think. He does things that are just. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is just to give the denarius to the first workers, which, mind you, they agreed to. Furthermore, God is not acting unlawfully in giving just a denarius to the latecomers. It's his property, and he can do what he wants. The early workers didn't have to wait and wonder. They had the peace of mind to know money was coming their way, not because of their glowing resumes, but because they were hired by the right guy. In our way of speaking, we would say they got lucky. The latecomers didn't have this luxury. They had to stand idle all day because no one hired them. As some of you know well, it does happen when you actively and diligently seek employment with a polished resume and much experience, only to have the door shut in your face. The 11th hour workers are in the marketplace wanting a job, waiting. And when the job comes, notice, they don't negotiate a wage. There's no time. They just go. And who could blame them? It gets to a point in a job search when any wage beats empty pockets. No negotiation is needed. You take what you can get. But a generous master gives them a day's wage. He is generous and good. And for that, the early workers grumble. In the ESV, the master says to the disgruntled workers, quote, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" The Greek is a bit more graphic. It says, "Is your eye evil? Because I am good." The point is pretty clear. When it comes to getting heaven, it's not about fairness, but generosity. However, the early workers are infatuated with this works righteous system. They want an hourly wage all of a sudden, even if they agreed to something else. To us, this is just. This is fair. This is how the world works. You get what you work for. Don't be a freeloader. The laborer is worth his wage. If you want something, work for it. Put in the time, and you should be compensated. And in this life, this side of heaven, God says you will gain your bread in pain by the sweat of your face. Genesis 2, verses 17 and 19. Which means you are not to get your bread by the sweat of another man's back. Laziness and complacency, expecting others to pick up the slack while you do nothing and make excuses not to work and help, repent of such sins and get to work in your vocation. Help your neighbor. Don't be afraid to sacrifice. If you live with your parents still, help them by doing a little cooking, a little cleaning, anything to alleviate their burdens, as they have certainly worked their fingers to the bone for you. Yet when it comes to gaining heaven, things are radically different. Works have no place in your justification before God, who justifies you for the sake of Christ, not the law. Thinking you can earn heaven by any virtue of your own leads to pride and arrogance as you begin to shame others for not working quite as hard as you do, and perhaps even despise God's generosity because it's going to people who you think haven't done quite as much as you have. Friends, here and now we labor, we work in this life. It's hard, very hard, and we do it for the good of the neighbor, even if it hurts. But our peace of mind while we labor is to know what's coming and indeed is already yours. Eternal life is a guarantee of God, a secure, certain promise you have by hearing his name, bearing his name, and faith that always grabs Jesus and his kingdom. God gives you this. He gives you this. He gives you himself. He gives you his kingdom out of his benevolence, not because you've borne burdens and sacrificed more than someone else. He hires and he pays out of his generosity. In other words, he brings you in and he gives you what he wants you to have. Remember, lest you get the false idea that you've earned God's kingdom and can even keep yourself in it. We can think about that infant brought to holy baptism. They can't take the credit. They were hired by no merit of their own. They were given the kingdom, having God's name put upon them. In baptism, think of it as God stamping them, sealing them as his own when he washes them in his name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we would pray that they would bear that name in faith. Then as they grow as an adult, usually a parent takes the child to church, brings them to confirmation class where they confirm what they have been given, and they learn what it means to be a baptized child of God. If that somewhat describes you, I've used the phrase before, a diaper Lutheran, yeah? Meaning you've been a Lutheran since birth, God has brought you in, confirmed you, and so forth. If that describes you, fantastic. But don't pat yourself on the back. Thank God that he hired you first in the early hours of the morning, because others have to wait. They have to stand in anxiety and fear over not getting a wage. For many others, the early dawn has already passed. No parent brought them to baptism. No parent brought them to church. They grew up being idle, not laboring in the vineyard, and thus they had no wage. Life in a household where Christ is absent, his word has no place. The parents despise God's gift and teach the child likewise. These are the people we should pray for, that by the mercy and compassion of God, they're hired. In other words, even in the 11th hour, they are brought in, and they receive the reward of those hired in the early morning. And when we see those brought in to work, even if for a little bit, we should rejoice in the generosity of a gracious God who saves apart from works. Heaven isn't fair by our standards, no, precisely because it's something we cannot earn. To our self-reliant nature, yes, this is hard because we like to control things. Because if we think we can control things, then everything will go as planned, right? The self-reliant, self-righteous person likes to think that, yes, they can contribute to the cause and even earn a little by their work. But heaven does not come to us this way. It comes to us on account of a generous master who gives his kingdom not to those who hold their heads high in pride, but to sinners he hires, he brings in, and he pays. It's not fair at all. It's not fair at all, because if heaven was something to be earned, then fairness means you get what you deserve. And the wage for that is always hell. God would be right to say, you want fairness, huh? Okay, fine. I will treat you fairly. This is what you get. It is yours. Depart and go. You don't like my generosity, then I will judge you on my terms. Verdict, guilty. Depart, goodbye, forever. That's it. That's what fairness looks like. Yet God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're far better. His way is the just way, the right way, the loving way, the way of salvation, that he freely gives to sinners when he washes them, redeems them, and forgives them, and gives them heaven, whether it's at the first or the 11th hour. We should rejoice that God has brought us into his kingdom through the death and resurrection of his only begotten Son, and not shy from relying solely upon him to guard us and keep us in the one true faith. I've heard people say stuff like, I just have a hard time letting go. I have a hard time letting God do all the work. That's one way of saying I have a hard time of trusting in him. I have a hard time trusting in him to save through Christ alone. Keep me in his kingdom. But that's exactly what God wants you to do. To trust in him alone to save you and give you what he promises. A day's wage. Everything you need to live both now and in eternity. It's because he has hired you, brought you in, redeemed you in his only begotten Son, that you can work with the peace of mind, knowing the wage is certainly coming to you from a just God who has paid for your sin. His justice and his recompense for that sin has already been dished out, but not on you. Understanding the atonement includes understanding and believing that at the cross, Christ is a curse. Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree, writes the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. But also in Isaiah, we hear he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. This is God's justice for sin. He takes it upon himself at the cross, and he pays for it in full. This means requital and innocence for you. Jesus labored for and earned this on your behalf. He has done it for you. Work, labor, but you are forgiven. Freely, richly, all sins taken care of, past, present, and future, by the blood of your Savior Jesus. Labor, but heaven is already in your possession for the sake of Christ. Rely on God's generosity. Rely on, believe in Christ alone to save. He has done it. And he will do as he says. He will give you your wage. He will give you that blessed wage of eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.